Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, The Look That Is Adultery. The section in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 21 through 48 is often called the sixth antithesis, because all six sections begin with some variation of Christ saying, But I say to you. Here Christ explains that what they had been taught about the mere external emphasis of the law is to have a deeper corresponding internal reality. So six sections, six topics. Number one, murder, anger, Matthew 5, 21 through 26. Number two, adultery, Matthew 5, 27 through 30. Number three, divorce, Matthew 5, 31 through 32. Number four, oaths, Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Number five, vengeance, Matthew 5, 38 through 42. And number six, love for enemies, Matthew 5, 43 through 48. At root, these are all heart issues. In Matthew 5, 27 through 28, Christ shows us the deeper heart issues related to adultery. And he shows us that these issues potentially relate to every one of us, no matter our station in life. Matthew 5, 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. This was an accurate accounting of the seventh commandment as found in Exodus 20, 14 and Deuteronomy 5, 18, which simply said, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery is a specific sexual sin regarding marital unfaithfulness. It is to be sexually unfaithful to your marriage partner. God ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman till death do them part. As ordained by God, marriage is to be for life. The sexual union denotes that the two shall become one flesh. But marriage is more than just a sexual union. Just because people have sex does not mean they are married. In the eyes of God, when people get married, God performs a spiritual union in which he joins them together. In Matthew 19:6, Jesus said, What God has joined together, let not man separate. This is God's doing, and it is not to be separated by man. Thus, marriage is an act of God. God is involved, and that makes it serious. What makes marriage to be marriage, biblically speaking, is that it is a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. Contracts are made between people, but a covenant relationship brings God into the equation. A covenant relationship is one in which one makes a binding commitment before God and is thereafter accountable to God for it. To make a covenant in the Old Testament literally meant to cut a covenant. The people would cut animals up and make an aisle formed by the dead animal parts. The parties to the covenant would then walk between the bloody pieces, signifying, quote, If I don't keep my part, may God cause this to happen to me. A covenant was a sacred binding commitment, which one was responsible to keep before God on pain of death for violation. It is for this reason that under the Mosaic law in the Old Testament, the penalty for adultery was death. Relatively few seem to take marriage very seriously today. It is seen more as a contract before men rather than a covenant before God. The problem is that there is so little fear of God. Having no fear of God describes the unbelieving world. To fear God is to reverence Him. It is to take accountability to Him seriously. If one truly fears God, that will be reflected in life, especially in the matter of a sacred binding covenant commitment. Having a fear of God sees marriage in reference to God. Adultery is serious because of how it violates the innocent party. But even more important, it is deadly serious because it violates a covenant commitment made before God. Remember, in context, Jesus is addressing disciples who have a relationship with God. The Jews had respect for the seventh commandment on a physical level, but they had figured out ways to get around the legislation against adultery. You could lust all day just as long as you never actually committed physical adultery. you were considered okay. But Jesus had something to say to this. In Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, "But I say to you, that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." How is that for a higher standard? Jesus said it's not enough to merely refrain from the actual physical act of adultery. One must also abstain from even lusting after a woman in the heart. Jesus takes it deeper into the realm of the heart. True, one is commanded not to commit physical adultery, but beyond that, Jesus says to even lust for a woman who is not your wife is to commit adultery with her in the heart. Before God, one is guilty of adultery long before the actual act. Even the desire to have sex with a woman, not your wife, is to be guilty of adultery in the heart. The real deeper issue is that of the heart. The Jesus standard is the heart standard. The law forbade the act of adultery. Jesus forbids the desire. William MacDonald. A major problem for the whole of society is that pornography is everywhere. The Bible says the lust of the eyes defines what the world is about. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. As Welbein said, you can't help the first look, but you are accountable for the second one. True, but the problem today is that society more and more holds this right in our face. It is a constant thing. That is not an excuse, but it is a reality. If you use social media at all, you are going to have to deal with this. So how can we live a life pleasing to God in the context of a pornified society? Number one, fill the heart with God's word. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin." Jerry Bridges, "God's word must be so strongly fixed in our minds that it becomes the dominant influence in our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions." End of quote. If you are not filling your heart with God's word, I don't see how you are going to withstand the onslaught of sexual temptation on constant parade. Number two, stay close to the throne of grace. We are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need when we're tempted. Number three, be intimately involved with the fellowship of accountability with God's people. And number four, make no provision for the flesh. The Bible calls us to holy living. Pure religion before God is to keep oneself unspotted from the world, James 1:27. Our very sanctification is to live lives of sexual purity, 1 Thessalonians 4. Let us not be conformed to the world, but rather constantly be renewed in our mind, by the renewing of our mind. Sanctification not only has to do with deeds, but also with our thoughts. As the culture becomes coarser and coarser, let us get closer and closer to God and His children. Warren Wiersbe shares the following story. "When we visited Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, I was impressed with the maze of tunnels, dense darkness when the lights were turned off. When we got to Pulpit Rock, the man in charge of our tour gave a 5-word sermon from it. Stay close to your guide. For these dark times, that is good counsel indeed. Don't wander off into the dark by yourself. Stay close to your guide, the Good Shepherd. It's the only safe place to be." This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.